CD 5.
There were more armed men waiting on the track, with some robed men among them. Brickface swung himself into the saddle of a waiting horse and lifted Kin up behind him, dumping her on the beast's rump without a word and then ignoring her. At his brief command, the entire troop moved off.
"This is Silver again. Do not despair."
"I am not despairing," said Kin. "I am just getting good and mad."
"We have returned to the clearing. Marco is reviving the stunned priest."
There was a thin scream which stopped abruptly.
"Kin?"
"I'm still here," she said. One of the robed men had ridden up alongside Brickface. He wore a fur-edged cloak over his robe and appeared to be important. He was also furious.
"This is a perfect opportunity," said Silver. "Hopefully we shall shortly learn more about these people. If you find yourself in difficulties, you can, of course, initiate sexual relations with your captor. The men call him Lothar."
The cloaked man was shouting and pointing back along the trail, with occasional poisonous looks at Kin. Lothar's replies were distant and monosyllabic, until he reached over and in one movement grabbed the priest by the front of his robe and almost lifted him off his horse. He snarled a sentence and spat a full stop. The other man went white, out of either fury or fear.
"This is exceptionally interesting," said Silver.
Kin thought she could also hear a babble of high-pitched Latin in the background. "Is the waiter badly damaged?" said Kin.
"Not badly. It can be repaired. Another centimetre and the sword would have hit the 5,000 kilovolt line. Marco, it is essential he does not faint again."
The party left the forest and headed hubwards by Kin's estimation, on a track that ran alternately between stretches of half-cultivated ground and marshes. The smoke pillar loomed, dominating the sky. Its tip was now made ragged by high-altitude winds. Soon they met a straggle of people coming the other way. They ran off the track when they saw Lothar's band, but he wheeled after them and one man was caught. He was brought before Lothar, struggling and gasping out answers to the questions that were grunted at him.
"Silver," said Kin, "how do you say I'm nearly freezing to death?"
Silver translated. Kin tapped Lothar on the shoulder and repeated the phrase as best she could. He turned in the saddle and stared at her in astonishment, before unfastening the heavy brooch that held his cloak. Kin wrapped the heavy and odorous cloth around her. There was a comment, almost inaudible, from the senior priest.
"He said soon you will both be warmed by the fires of hell," murmured Silver helpfully.
"Great! I've only been here a few hours and already I've made friends."
"Listen carefully. Your party contains priests of the Christ Creator religion. They are heading towards the smoke column in the belief that it is a sign that the Christ has returned. Lothar, however, is a minor noble with a line in brigandage and part-time looting. According to our informant, he is a son of Saitan."
"Saitan has a lot of relatives in these parts," said Kin.
"It is a strange religion. Everyone is evil until proved holy. Our informant says the priests met up with Lothar on the road and they banded together for mutual protection. But this liaison is likely to end at any moment."
"Are you telling me that Lothar's god is returning and he's thinking of nothing but pillage?"
"Probably rape and murder as well," said Silver. "You are heading for a holy house for the night. We will endeavour to rescue you then. Now I must sign off for the moment. I've got an injured man to attend to. I'll say this for these Christers, they're brave. This one hit out at Marco. Picture the result."
"Dead?"
"I persuaded Marco that the man was more useful alive. He just broke both his arms."
In the early evening, they came to a town of thatched houses surrounding what Silver identified as a religious foundation. The muddy streets were thick with people and carts. The party got through only after Lothar sent men ahead to clear a path with the flats, and sometimes the points, of their swords. There were noisy crowds around the holy buildings, dressed in the main in drab and holy colours. The senior priest was greeted effusively, even frantically, and helped to dismount. Lothar watched impassively. Looking round, Kin saw that his men had fanned out among the crowd with drawn bows, sometimes glancing at the sky. The senior priest, identified by Silver as Otto, spoke sharply to a holy man. He ran off and returned a few minutes later.